Hello and welcome. This is Erica Glessing. Oh my gosh, I so adore my next guest. He has such a fascinating background. He helps healing people like me who have such a challenge doing sales calls, and he helps people develop systems that really allow their entrepreneurship to be ease and joy and profit. So glad to have with me Jeremy Pope from theclosingengine.com. Hi, Jeremy.
Wow, it's a pleasure to be here. Hi. That's quite an intro. Goodness.
I told you I'd like to get jump right in, right?
Well, you're solid with that. Yeah, thank you.
Well, you know, what got you into like helping people like me close, like learn how to close, and you do it in such a, I don't know, people-friendly way?
Well, what I do, it's really, I would say it's a little broader than the healers. It's more just entrepreneurs in general, solopreneurs who are looking to build and grow a team.
True.
That's really the focus. And with
absolutely. You have accountants working with you, and people from all different walks of business life working with you.
Because as long as they're passionate about their business, and as long as they want to grow big, that's really what we're after. But those folks, I was a clinical hypnotist for 10 years. And
what is a clinical hypnotist, baby?
That means I helped people with, well, my big five were stop smoking, lose weight, asthma and allergies, chronic pain, and phobias. Those are the big five things that I would help people with.
Got it.
So I did an awful lot of that.
Like NLP type thing.
NLP was the first style of hypnosis I was ever trained in. Yep.
Okay, cool.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah. And so that was a tremendous amount of fun for quite some time. And I eventually kind of burned out on the heavy one-on-one kind of work that I was doing. But it was, I definitely enjoy the counseling, the life-changing kind of attitudes in that field. But I've done a lot of different things for a living. I've sold life insurance and health insurance.
And you know, Reiki.
Yep, I do. I've never incorporated that into a business, but I do. Yep.
I outed you, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. And I'm a charismatic, tongues-talking Christian as well. So you want a combo, there you go, right there.
Oh my goodness.
I got into this, goodness, probably aside from being a hypnotist, I see myself as a sales and marketing guy. Those are the two big things that I see myself as. And it's been, I've sold and marketed a lot of different things, and just seeing that there are people that I can change lives by changing businesses. I mean, as business owners, our businesses are our lives a lot of times.
Yeah.
So I love being able to make that big of an impact with someone's life and just coming in and partnering with them in their business. It really is a partnership, the way that we work with almost all of our clients here. And I just love my team and I love my clients, and it's pretty wonderful.
Tell me a little bit about, you have some, I'm just going to jump right into your secret sauce that you're probably not allowed to share. You'll probably,
I can share anything.
You probably have an NDA with yourself.
That's the good stuff, right?
The whole thing you do with LinkedIn, tell me a little bit about that whole thing where you're
in. Oh, yeah.
The leads from LinkedIn. I mean, I just
happy
let's,
to
let's get some fun tools people can practically leave with.
Sure. With LinkedIn, that's one of the things that we start with lead generation for our clients. A lot of them are kind of starting from scratch when it comes to lead generation and sales. And so when we come in as a done for you team, that's usually what we plug in first, because it doesn't cost $40,000 to get a Facebook webinar funnel running and running ads to it, and $1,000 a day this and all that kind of stuff. So LinkedIn is very simple. If you can find your target market on LinkedIn, it's fantastic. And that's one place where healers and life coaches and people like that, LinkedIn is really tough for them specifically, because people are looking for business to be done on LinkedIn. And so it's very easy to get too personal there.
Yeah.
We have to be really, really careful with the way we approach LinkedIn for a couple of coaching clients that we have. It's touchy. I won't say I have it nailed down. But what we generally do is we'll always get LinkedIn Sales Navigator. That's step number one. It's the $87 a month LinkedIn program. Uh-huh. And then we run searches to figure out exactly what the best way to get in touch with one segment of your desired clients is.
Wow.
And so we might have three or four different searches that we run to, okay, this would talk to accountants, that would talk to Facebook ads people, that would talk to published business authors, this other one would talk to roofers. So, okay. I mean, whatever you want, really. And then just go through and connect with those people in those safe searches. And you keep the first message as vague as you can, because your profile headline and your profile itself are really doing the heavy lifting on that.
Nice.
We don't have to say much on the connection message. Just keep that as vague as you can. Look for about a 40 to 60% connection rate. That lets you know you're doing well.
Wow.
And then converse with people. It's not, it's grunt work. Yeah, it's grunt work, but it's not super sophisticated.
I have to tell you, I had this wonderful guy. His name is Ash Sobey, and he came on my podcast, and he does an amazing job with social media. And he gets paid like $10,000 by companies to be named on his Instagram. Like, nice. That's how cool.
So he's one of these influencer people Instagram. That sounds awesome. Yeah.
And so I talked to him and I said, well, I was kind of trying to, you know, needle him a little bit to give up some of his secrets. So not that I do it all the time. And he said, Erica, you know what? I direct message people, but I don't say anything about business. I say, hi.
Yeah.
I say, hey, just reaching out. How can I help you? How can I be of service to you? And just kind of connect with people. And he goes, if someone follows me, I'll put a nice little direct message out. And it's him actually doing it. And he's very personal and warm. He's a very warm person.
Yeah.
And he said, that just leads to genuine connections. And then we see if, and his company, I don't remember his name, but it's like really interesting. It's like just this human connection. It's just reaching out. It's like a touch. It's just like saying hi. You know?
Yeah.
Different, right?
Yeah, it really is. And LinkedIn is good for that kind of attitude as well, because it's, there are all kinds of automation programs that you can use with LinkedIn, but the more personal you can make it, the more effective every contact is going to be. That's just the facts of life. So make this as personal as possible and look for every kind of opportunity. I'd say that's a big part of the networking skill, is don't just look for clients. Look for ways that you can refer to this person. Look for ways they can refer to you. Look for affiliate relationships. Look to interview them. Look to do, I mean, any kind of relationship you can have with that person, it's going to expand that network. So don't be narrow-minded with your focus on any of these social media platforms.
So take us from, we got the connect, we're hanging out, we're chilling, they want to get to know us better, you know, they want the first date.
Right.
How do we go to the close?
Well, what I call it is almost going to the open. The open is more important than the close.
Okay.
Closing skills are overvalued in my opinion. And I run a company called The Closing Engine, so I should know. But everybody thinks they want closing, but where the work happens is in the opening.
Wow.
Like how do you get into the right conversation?
Okay.
So we just get people to schedule a call, and we often use language like, hey, I'd love to talk with you about so-and-so, whatever your business is. If that's interesting to you, then let's talk. If you like those newfangled schedulers, here's my guaranteed availability. Or if not, we can do the scheduling tango right here in Messages. So, I mean, it's super, just fun, casual language. That's almost word for word what I've used on a couple of LinkedIn profiles before for that message.
Wow.
And it's very simple. And people book a call in your calendar or not. I mean, it's fine either way, but it's certainly easier to keep track of if you're doing high volume when they book in your calendar. And then there's an intake form behind that calendar. We use a calendar called Acuity. Mm-hmm. And so they'll answer a few questions about their business and make that intake form fun. That's kind of the key.
Don't make
that. Don't make it heavy-handed.
I've gone on some of those that are so heavy that I'm like,
Yep.
Wow. Like, oh, yeah. You asked to meet with me and now
right.
I want to know like what right. the name of my first child was, you know? Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. We see a lot of intake forms that treat people like children. And with the, because they learned that intake form style from the make money online space, which is a yes. very flaky, yes. childish kind of area yeah. a lot of times.
Yeah.
So in that area, you have to be very heavy handed more than others areas. Yeah. But when you leave that and you go into the real world, it feels like a carnival barker yelling at you. And yeah. so use your own tone, use your own tone with that stuff.
Wow.
And then it comes down to when you get on the phone with people, we use what we call our transparent triple close. Ooh. And we're very upfront with people. We might tell people the price right up front, for instance,
yeah,
which is a big no-no in the coaching industry.
Right.
But we've not found it scares away the right people. It only scares away the wrong people.
Right, because if someone's looking for what you have, a lot of yeah. times my experience is they're basically their goal.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, their first goal is to solve whatever problem that they're up against.
Exactly.
So they're really facing some kind of issue. Usually it's they're not growing fast enough or they want to have better success. Or, you know, for me, it's do they want a podcast built or, right? But they have some kind of problem they're up against and they've just decided, you know what, I need help. And then for some reason you came to their awareness. And often that's almost like magic. Like it's almost like the electronics are kind of like helping us bring us people like that are looking for what we serve. And I find that very often they would like to be a yes.
Yeah.
And so part of it's really just listening, like really just like, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The people that advocate holding on to your price until you have to build value first. Oh, well they'll run away if you tell it to them up front. Okay. Well, first of all, why would they run away? Is it because they have no idea or no intention of paying your price?
Okay. Right, in which case, well,
if they have no intention of paying your price, then they should run away. That's okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
But if they have no idea of what your price is, and this is the first time you're going to slap them with a price, my goodness, shouldn't they have kind of a vague idea of what you charge before you get on the phone? Do you really want to ambush them? We have a no ambushes policy at the Closing Engine.
Wow.
And so we'll tell people our prices. Yeah. We're about to raise this price right now. Our price for done, like we become your lead gen and sales team is $8,500 and 45% commissions. We're incredibly expensive and I don't even mind saying it on the air. We're about to raise that sign up fee because we're losing money on it right now with all the stuff we put in place.
I know. I love the conversation, Jeremy, that you had with me about providing a concierge service. Like,
yes,
I love the conversation.
Turnkey, concierge, white glove. Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Like, and you guys, I have to tell you a funny side story. Jeremy and I were speaking and kind of getting to know in September, right before my birthday. I remember that. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy just got a wild hair and mailed me a beautiful book called Raving Fans.
Oh yeah. I love that book so much. Yeah.
I was just like, who does that? Right. That just has a conversation and he knows I love books. Right. And so we both had that in common and we were just
publishers tend to love books. It's a thing. Yeah.
What would you want on a desert island? Who would you like to be with? I don't know, about six Melvin Lengel books.
Right. Right. That's one of my favorite books. It's an old book, like 1970s, something like that.
Wow.
And it's so wonderful because it outlines that giving mindset so thoroughly and concierge and turnkey and how do we make this experience so wonderful.
And really, think about it. I just want to put in people's minds, like if you were comfortable funding Jeremy's team to help you with your lead generation and sales, what could you focus on? Like you could focus on making new products, you know, you could focus on changing the world. You could focus on getting on podcasts. You could focus on so many interesting things. I was reading this T. Harv Eckert information about making your body not as important to your business.
Oh, yeah. That's a big, you could have a real business instead of just being self-employed with other people.
Like, have your business be working for you and building for you and changing lives for you while you're creating new things. It's so exciting. I love this concept.
Yeah.
What other best tips do you have for people as we head towards the end of our conversation?
Focus on opening well. In any discovery call, that's how we started. That's how we focus. Mm-hmm. Any discovery call needs to focus on opening well rather than closing hard. We get a lighter and lighter touch toward the end of a sales call until a lot of times my big, heavy close is, so what you want to do? I mean, that's it. There's no technique. There's no ambush. There's no scorpion in the sand waiting to sting you with a price or some big wordy close. I mean, it's as simple as we can make it. Wow. Asking good questions and getting people committed to their own answers of why they want to buy, that's number one.
Yeah.
We talk about the three big things, the sizable, unsolvable problem. Do they have a big enough problem to throw your kind of money at? And can they not solve it themselves? Do they have to find somebody else to solve it? We talk about return on solution, which is, are they going to get their money's worth from your thing? Can they see themselves getting their money's worth from your thing?
Right.
We talk about there's only three and I always forget one of them. I have to write these things down to remember them. I've written them so many times.
Okay, solution.
The third one is the, sizable, unsolvable problem, return on solution, and I promise I'm not trying to leave a cliffhanger here.
Well, maybe they're going to have to reach out to you to find out.
Maybe so.
I ask when I'm working with someone on building a podcast, mm-hmm. one of the things I learned from John Lee Dumas in Entrepreneur mm-hmm. on Fire is that a podcast can make you a lot of money.
Sure.
And so I ask the podcast energy itself, like, will you make me money?
Uh-huh.
And if I don't get a yes, then I'm like, what else could we do different? Like, what can we do to change it? Like, how will we be sure that it will make us money? And it's not linear mm-hmm. almost ever. And so it's almost always going to be related to the people you connect with or the guests that you have on or the people that, like, one lady was on my show and then she just opened up her Rolodex and sent me like 9 beautiful people. It was like, and I didn't even ask her. We just had such a great time on the podcast interview. She just popped all these people at me and I was like, oh my gosh. They're like, Erica, you got to meet Erica.
Exactly.
And so through that one interview, I got like 9 people to interview.
Yeah.
You know, those kinds of things are going to generate money. And so I think it's a good idea if you're investing in a sales solution to ask, will this make me money? And just get the energetic hit. It's like a quick hit. Is it a yes or a no? And if that's, it's a yes, that's when you say yes. Because
I've never done that before.
Get it. Mm-hmm. Really?
That's very interesting. I've never even thought to do that before. That's fascinating. Oh, I just remembered the third one. So big unsolvable problem, return on solution, and why this, why now, what's the alternative?
Perfect.
Why are you interested in doing this with me now? What's changed? What's coming up, et cetera, time frame stuff. Why this? Why are you interested in doing this particular solution? And if you don't do this, what are you going to do next? So helping make a lot of times with coaches and with trainers and consultants and mentors, a lot of what they do is helping give clarity and strategy.
Yeah.
So they build their discovery calls as a strategy call and things like that. This is one of the things that can help give people strategy, whether or not they buy from you. So it helps you live up to your promise of that strategy call, giving them real value on the call, no matter what they decide to do afterwards.
I mean, I think I could probably have like an 8-hour conversation with you because you're so interesting, mm-hmm. but why don't you tell our people who are listening,
I think we, yeah.
that 8 minutes is better than 8 hours and we went a little over, but I'm good. How do we reach you and find out more?
Get in touch with me at theclosingengine.com. You can email me directly at jeremypope@theclosingengine.com.
Okay.
And I'm all over social media too.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Erica. It's been a pleasure.